I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Saturday, April 12th, 2025, and apparently it's not my week. I left in those bad edits in the one video, and now there's apparently an audio glitch. Many think it's because my smartphone's too close to my microphone, so it's on the other side of the house. Never been a problem before. Maybe it's a problem now, so bear with me as I figure that out. And yesterday, while I was outside enjoying the sunshine, slip-sliding around in the mud, I decided to throw two solid body checks at planet Earth, which is a fancy way of saying falling, and I managed to wrench my fingers and bang myself up pretty good. So bear with me as I work through that. I have a confession to make. I gave Mark Carney money today. But it's not what you think. I bought his book, and I'm reading it, and I plan to do a review on the book and tell you all about it so that you don't have to read it. And I'm just going to begin this video because Mark Carney, China, the agenda, all of these things are tied together for Canada's future. So Mark Carney's being billed as the everyman. Let's read a brief snippet from the introduction of his book. The car weaves silently through the city. When it reaches St. Michael's Lothbury, it waits momentarily while security guards swing open giant steel gates, and it then rolls into the Bullion Yard. I get out, pass through an alarmed door by enormous vaults and up a granite staircase. I rub the nose of the lion adorning a brass portal as I enter the inner sanctum. I bid good morning to the pink-jacketed stewards, walk by portraits of my predecessors, and step into the office of the governor of the Bank of England. Everything I see evokes the history of the bank and the permanence of its mission. The entrance hall echoes the style of British imperial capitals. The corridors are lined with mosaics showing images of Roman coins and Mercury, the god of commerce. Lions, the traditional guardians of treasure, populate the gilded stairwells in front of the doors. The governor's office, as much as it has been over the centuries, the desk has been in continual use since it was crafted by Sir John Soane in the 18th century. One wall is dominated by a gigantic Canaletto depicting the Thames in the late 17th century. Floor-to-ceiling glass doors open on a tranquil courtyard that preserves the 17th century churchyard of St. Christopher Lestocq's. Sounds like a commoner's life, doesn't it? This guy sounds like he's going to be a very appropriate champion of the people. The only other note I want to make is that in this book, the term net zero appears 163 times. Now, there's a preface that's been inserted into this book because it was released in 2021, and the preface, I would almost say, lays the groundwork for Carney's run as prime minister. And the preface came in, it was sometime after February of 2022. I haven't seen it disclosed anywhere in the preambles or about this book when that preface was inserted. I may not have found it yet, but it makes very clear that Mark Carney is the net zero diversity champion. And he intends, through GFANZ, his group, GFANZ, it's an acronym, G-F-A-N-Z, we'll get into that later, represents $140 trillion, some of the largest pension funds in the world, all dedicated to reengineering the global economy around this net zero construct. No one has ever been more dangerous to Canada. And do you believe the Mark Carney that wrote this book and served as central bank head for Canada and England, do you believe the guy that wrote this book in 2021, or do you believe the guy now who says he's done with net zero, who says he's done with carbon taxes, who says he wants to build the Canadian energy powerhouse? He is here to manage our destruction. He is here to implement one of the greatest socialist regimes that has ever been foisted on a nation, and he's doing it while lying to you, and there's a lot of Canadians who are buying it. But I'm going to reserve further comment about Mark Carney's book until I've finished reading it. I'm actually going to read it twice. We're going to go into it in some depth. Francois Legault believes in opening up to China. This was from April 10th, 2025, a press conference that he gave. The fact is, Quebec is already wide open to China. China is Quebec's second largest trading partner, in spite of Quebec being a long way from our west coast. And this echoes a theme that is being repeated by politicians all across this country, whether it's Doug Ford, whether it is Mark Carney, whether Jagmeet Singh, in the hysteria which claims that the United States has become an unreliable partner, which couldn't be further from the truth. They're all encouraging us to further embrace China, to get closer to China, to pin our future on a totalitarian regime. And gone from public discourse is the fact that they have enslaved millions of Uyghur Muslims in the north. Gone from the conversation is the suicide nets around the assembly buildings where they build your iPhones. Gone from the conversation is all the legitimate criticism of China. But also, there is a massive contradiction, and you won't hear about this contradiction in your state-funded media. Did you know that 90-plus days into prorogation, where your parliamentarians have not been sitting in the House, the Governor General authorized $40 billion in your name, $178 million of which alone went to the CBC in the middle of an election? Do you think it's any wonder that the media has fawning coverage of the Liberals and is running 90-plus percent negative coverage of Polyev? Follow the money. And this brought up an important distinction. Shout out to Russell, the conservative con. That's his at the conservative con on X. I want to have a conversation with this guy because we had a back and forth last night and it led me to making an X post myself to remind people. You elect parliament. Parliament appoints government. Government is not parliament. Parliament is not government. This is a huge misconception that most Canadians have. So the Governor General, who is the head of the government, not your Prime Minister, the Governor General, an appointed office, with the stroke of a pen and a signature, authorized $40 billion in spending while your representatives aren't even in the House, are in the middle of an election. And people say, well, that's the system, Frank. It's doing what it's designed to do, ensure continuity of government. My argument has never been that the system isn't working. My argument is that the system sucks. Unelected senators, unelected justices, a king as the head of state, whose representative is the governor general, government that you don't elect, government that's appointed by the people that you elect, no accountability of parliamentarians, no demand that they engage fiscal responsibility. They've destroyed the Canadian ability to actually make a living and own a home in this house and do some of the very basic things we used to take for granted. My argument is the system is terrible. We can do better. We should do better. We should embrace better. But back to the point. Parliament is not government. You're not electing your government when you go and vote. You're electing parliament. And that's an important distinction. And I know that makes people scratch their heads, but you need to understand it. They're not the same thing. But this is that contradiction. Brookings, not Global News, not CBC, Brookings, the China-Russia relationship and threats to vital U.S. interests. Let's just read some headlines, actually. China's door is always open to Quebec, says Consul General. This is downstream news media. This was back in 2024. This idea of integration with China is an old one here in Canada. It goes back to the Harper years when Maxime Bernier was running for leadership in 2017 of the CPC. He was very proud of the Trans-Pacific Partnership and FIPA and demanded that Justin Trudeau expedite and fast-track a free trade agreement with China, which would have gutted us at an accelerated pace. This infiltration is nothing new, and our politicians have been encouraging it under all stripes. China and Russia reaffirm their close ties as Moscow presses its offensive in Ukraine. This is May 17, 2024. I picked these old articles to highlight that this is an old notion, that somehow there's this disconnect in people's heads. In the midst of treating the Americans like they are our existential threat, like they are the worst thing in the world after they've done so much for Canada, that's reality. They've been a really good ally for decades. And you can argue that they have steered that relationship to their advantage, but that's what nations are supposed to do. They're supposed to make themselves stronger. When they are giving something to someone else, they're supposed to get something back in return. And the fact of the matter is, the Americans get less back from Canada than they give us. And that's the core issue. This madness over tariffs and taxation is it's out of sorts. Our politicians across the board believe that prosecuting the war in Ukraine is an unnegotiable tenet of Canadian foreign policy. That Russia is the great danger, that they are the great threat, that they are a sword of Damocles poised to stab through the entire world, which couldn't be further from the truth. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the will. They have a hard enough time prosecuting the war in Ukraine. It hasn't been easy for them. And somehow you think that they're going to just roll across Poland and Eastern Europe as though this is 1945. They are or 1943. They're taking advantage of public ignorance. The circumstances that we live under are not the same as they were in the Second World War. And we're resurrecting these demons, these images of the past, which have no applicability to the present. But I digress. Russia is the great evil, and all our politicians see it that way. Yet these very same politicians want us to embrace China. China and Russia are in a self-described, unlimited strategic partnership on every single front. China and Russia exploring ties between two authoritarian powers. This is Council on Foreign Relations. You don't get a more European-centric globalist think tank than the CFR. And they recognize this long-standing relationship. CNN, not CBC, not Global News. China and Russia are as close as ever. And that's a problem for the United States. This is 2023. And this is an article from the CFR as well, where the China-Russia partnership is headed in seven charts and maps. And it just talks about the development of the closer integration of Russia and China. Not since long before the war started, China and Russia have been coming together. It's very foolish. Previous leaders of the United States recognized that pushing Russia and China together is one of the worst foreign policy consequences that you can create. And it's the one that we have created since the start of the war in Ukraine. Since before the start of the war in Ukraine, well, the Western allies, NATO, that walking corpse, which hopefully Trump is the undertaker of, decided to aggravate the situation in Ukraine to the point where Russia had no choice but to invade. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Anyway, how do we square the circle of integrating further with China and embracing them as an alternative to the United States when China fuels the Russian war machine? It is so much more than a couple hundred Chinese volunteers fighting in the Russian army, which, as I highlighted yesterday, I can't even understand how people can get upset. I can't understand how Zelensky, if he possesses even a measure of self-respect, could dare go on the global stage and say, look, I've got a couple passports from China, considering the thousands and thousands of foreign mercenaries from the West fighting in Ukraine today. It's absurdly and patently hypocritical, but it's so much more than that. The West is embracing China as an alternative to America. China has embraced Russia during the war in Ukraine. How do we square the circle? I may not agree with the foreign policy of the Liberal Party or the Conservative Party when it comes to Ukraine, and that's fine. But I believe that a foreign policy should be cohesive. And this doesn't make sense. You can't embrace China, who enables Russia, at the same time as you claim that Russia is the world's greatest enemy. But nothing in Canada makes sense right now. You have Mark Carney being embraced as the economic savior of Canada, at the head of a government that's been in office for 10 years already. The very people who brought us to the precipice have now brought in a new head coach. They intend to keep the team together. And even though they've delivered bottom of the barrel performance for this nation, They claim they've got all the solutions. And their solutions, at least according to their election campaign, is to completely reverse course on everything that they've been doing up to this point. They say that they will get rid of that carbon tax. They haven't fully gotten rid of it yet. It's suspended, but you have to get rid of it via an act of parliament. It has to be rescinded. Do you honestly believe them? Mark Carney wrote a book dedicated to it. These people have been telling you the carbon tax has been making you richer, making us more competitive, fueling that green economy, but it's always short on detail. It's so funny to me that one of the biggest talking points when Trudeau was still around, and by the way, where's Justin Trudeau? Is anybody curious? Like, I feel like I'm the only one that's asking, where's Justin Trudeau? Why aren't we talking about his legacy? Why aren't we celebrating his accomplishments? Why are the, like, I know the answers. I know why the Liberal Party have buried him. But this is just another layer of the absurdity of the moment. I have a real hard time believing the polls. I will not believe it until the election's done and Mark Carney is prime minister. If that's how it goes, I won't believe it until it's done. Because I just still have greater faith in the public mind, I guess. Call me stupid. I can't believe that people would buy this bait and switch. These people and their policies have brought us here, and now they claim they're going to abandon them and save us. From one moment, they were all supporting the carbon tax, saying it's cost neutral, it actually makes you richer. You know, the money that you pay, you get back more. It only targets polluters. And it's like, if the whole thing is cost neutral, why even have it in the first place? It sounds like you're just taking it. There's an administration that you have to pay to administer the money, and then you're kicking it back out, and the CRA is left in the middle trying to figure out the accounting of it. Like, well, what's it all about? How is it actually funding so-called green investments? Like, what does it actually do? But they defended it until they didn't, and they stood like seals behind Mark Carney while he signed a fake executive order memeing Donald Trump, suspending it. It just doesn't make any sense. How can the Canadian public buy this? Was it really just that superficial that they knew that Trudeau couldn't win the next election? So they signaled through the polls their disapproval of the fact that he couldn't win. Not his policies, not his effect on the country, not holding the Liberal Party to account, because this is the part that gets me. I actually believed that the Canadian public was ready to hold the Liberals accountable. But was it really just superficially Trudeau and the fact that he couldn't win? That was all the Canadian public was concerned about? It wasn't about giving a new government a try to see if they could do any better, to see if they could tell us how screwed we are and give us a plan to right the ship. It was just about winning, not solving anything. Because that's what the polls seem to indicate. And it breaks my mind. But anyway, the point of this video is, how can we embrace China as an alternative while we are literally fighting with them in Ukraine? And why is nobody curious about this angle? Why does China get a pass? And we know why China gets a pass within the halls of the Liberal Party, and that's because the Liberal Party is captured by the CCP. Just is what it is. Liberal candidate Peter Yuan reportedly attended 2015 Beijing military parade hosted by Xi Jinping. Now, this is a candidate that's running. They also had the candidate that advocated for the kidnapping of his adversary in a riding and handing him over to the Chinese consulate to collect a bounty on his head. These are the kinds of things that happen in Canada. That candidate, by the way, resigned and was replaced by another pro-China candidate. This is after the Liberals brought Chinese troops into Canada. This is after they allowed them to operate police stations on our soil. This is after they allowed them to completely infiltrate our mineral and oil wealth and claim it. I've talked to people who talk about a common practice in Canada for farmers to embrace investment corporations who filter Chinese money and use their name to buy up farmland on behalf of Chinese capital. There's a lot of bad things going on in this country. It's being sold out from under you by a lot of different people. And the business is going to China at the same time as China enables Russia to fight the war in Ukraine. So there's a huge disconnect there. Meanwhile, Carney vows to defend access to puberty blockers without exception. How is this even serious? How can you defend the sterilization of children? And how can you vote for somebody who wants unrestricted access for kids that aren't even out of puberty to irreversibly destroy their natural unfolding biology? How is this even real? This stuff doesn't fly in the mainstream where I live in Western Canada. If this is what Canada is, then we need to leave. And that's all there is to it. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'm going to go back to reading Mark Carney's book so that I can tell you all about it. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.